We hear a lot these days in the news about illegal immigrants, illegal immigration, foreigners coming into our country, the various means by which we're divided on what to do and how to respond to those coming into our country here in the United States. Years ago, when this new world was being settled, various groups of people would come into the new world, into what was America, and they would settle in certain places by their ethnicities. I never fully understood why that took place like it did, that even certain religious groups settled in one place, others in another place, and others yet in another place. But they would settle together and they were separated. Even though they were pilgrims in this new land, they were separated, foreigners to each other. And I learned as I grew older and going to school, I learned that there was a great reason for this. A lot of it had to do with food. It was all about sustenance, survival in this new world. I mean, the groups didn't even speak the same languages. They didn't eat the same foods. How were they going to survive? It was a foreign land to them. So they settled in groups to bring some sort of commonness to their lives as things were in the old world before they came. And then eventually they all became citizens of the United States as time went on here. Even though they were separate groups, they all became Americans. There's a process of citizenship in our country here. And it's the same in terms of the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, there were various laws that were initiated by God and various festivals through which God's people would participate. And by participating, they were worshiping God and following his laws. And in some of those certain ceremonies and celebrations and events and festivals, there were instructions given to the Jews, or the Hebrews at the time, as they were called, for the foreigners and the aliens in their group, those that were not Jewish. In some cases, they were not allowed to participate in those different events and festivals. And in other cases, there were provisions made that the foreigners and the aliens in the community would have to do certain things before they could participate. One of those was a cleansing process. But there was a process in all this that God initiated. And in terms of the kingdom of God, there's a process by which one becomes a citizen. When you become a citizen of a country or of a certain place, your identity changes. You're no longer the old person that you were. Your identity changes. Those people that came over here, even though their ancestry was from the old world, maybe Germans, Italians, Spaniards, English, whatever, in the end, they all became one. They all became Americans. Their identity changed, you see. And that's what happens when you become a citizen somewhere. Your identity changes. And it's the same way in Christianity when you come to Christ. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said in chapter 1, verse 13, he said to them, "You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." You see, this process of becoming a citizen in the kingdom of God involved first hearing the word. The Bible tells us faith comes through hearing. Hearing the word, believing the word, and receiving the blessing of God's seal and his Holy Spirit on our lives. It's the process by which we become citizens of the kingdom of God. In chapter 2, Paul's explaining to the Ephesians how we're saved by grace. In other words, something has to change. We have to become new people. We can no longer be dead in our transgressions. We have to be made alive again to be part of the kingdom of God. We have to be new creations. And he describes this in light in chapter 2 in the respect of that process. As we have to die first. He says, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air," meaning the devil. But you see, he said, because of his great love for us, then God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. So the old self has to die. God makes us alive. And he says, you were raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms. So that process that Paul's talking to the Ephesians about, becoming a citizen in the kingdom of God, involved the old self dying, being made alive in Christ Jesus, and then God raises us and seats us in the heavenly realms with Christ. In other words, as a citizen, we have a place of assurance in the kingdom of God. If God raises us and seats us there, folks, he is not going to let us go. Jesus said, I know my sheep know me. These are my sheep. You know, no one can take them out of my hands. God's not going to let go of us as Christians because we're raised. He made us alive. He raised us and he seated us with Christ. And we are part of the kingdom of God now and future. You see, the kingdom of God isn't something we're waiting to enter into. It's something that in Christ Jesus we have entered into now. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is near, the kingdom of God is near, he meant it is right here. It is available right now. And when we come to Christ in our lives, we enter into this kingdom through faith. We hear the word and we believe the word and we receive and we become citizens. And he was trying to teach the Christians in his day about this understanding, this process of becoming a citizen in the kingdom of God. It's like adoption, sort of. And he talks about adoption a lot in the book of Romans, because in Rome, there was a lot of this adopting going on where slaves were made children, sons, and so forth. They were adopted into the family. Once they were adopted in, they couldn't be taken back out. So he reminds the Ephesians in our text today that even though they were once separated, now we come together in Christ through faith, and now we are together citizens of the kingdom of God. Remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. You were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were without hope. You were without God in the world. Now, he's talking to the Gentile believers in Ephesus, and he's talking about their former state. You see, in their former state, in their old condition, they were one way. Now in the new state, in the new condition under Christ, they were a new creation and newness had come. First of all, in verses 11 through 13, he brings us near. He brings us near. This is prevenient grace. Formerly, we are Gentiles. We're not Jews. We're Gentiles by birth. And we're called the uncircumcised by the circumcised, who is the Jews. We're called the uncircumcised. And Paul says that before we come to Christ, we're separate from Christ. We're excluded from citizenship in Israel. And we're foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God. I want you to think about that. That's a pretty desperate situation to be in. But I want to tell you folks something. There's a lot of foreigners and aliens in our world today. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of foreigners and aliens in our world today. Oftentimes you walk up to people and you try and talk to them about Jesus and about God, and you can tell not only are they separate from Christ, you can tell they have no hope. They don't know the promise of God because they don't have God in their lives. Therefore, they are not citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So God in his grace makes us alive. He brings us near. Look at what Paul goes on to say. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. In other words, God reached out and took you, and through the blood of Christ, you've been brought near to God. There was something separating us from God before we came to Jesus Christ. We were separate from God. We were his creation. That's true. All human beings are. But in a way, you're separated from God and not included as a citizen in his kingdom. And he receives the glory as the King of Kings when by the blood of Christ that he offers to us, we receive that and he draws us near. So he brings us near through his prevenient grace offered to every human being, the blood of Christ, you see. And we're brought near through the blood of Christ. Secondly, he gives us peace. He himself is our peace, who's made the two one. He's talking about Israel and Gentiles, the Jews and the Gentiles. He's our peace because he's made the two one. See, initially it seemed like a hopeless situation. We had to become Jewish to be God's chosen people. And God says, no, I've made a way now for the two of you to be one as my chosen people. He's our peace. He's made the two one. He's destroyed the barrier or the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. So what God did through Jesus Christ is he tore down the wall and opened this way, this process of citizenship to all human beings. We hear a lot today about building the wall. We want to build the wall. We want to keep people out. God doesn't do that. God tears the wall down and welcomes people in because he knows by welcoming them in, he receives greater glory because it's by his grace. So he's destroyed the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law with its commandments. In other words, we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. And his purpose for this was to adopt us, was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who are far away and peace to you who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by the Spirit. In other words, what he's saying is that through Jesus Christ, the Jew and the Gentile hears the message of the gospel that only through Christ are we brought into the kingdom of God and no other way. Not through the law, not through the works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. He gives us peace through adoption. He gives us the spirit of sonship. I think that's what Paul calls it in Romans in chapter 8, that God has given us a spirit of sonship. The King James Version says God has given us a spirit of adoption. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He adopted us to be his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. Huh. Now I'm confused because the world tells us there's a lot of different ways to God. There's many ways to heaven. There's many ways to be children of God. Are you confused? Our world is. The Bible isn't. The Bible makes it clear. It was according to God's pleasure and will that he did this in love, that he adopted us through Jesus Christ. And no other way. Thirdly, he gives us access to the kingdom. In verse 18, look what he says. Through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access to the Father by one Spirit. Access to the kingdom of God. And finally, he makes us part of his family. Consequently now, in other words, as a result of what Christ did for both the Jew and the Gentile, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but your fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. The foundation that the apostles and prophets built were the message of the coming of the Messiah, and which the prophets proclaimed. The apostles declared, this is Jesus. This is the one that was promised by God. And as Jesus stands, he becomes the cornerstone. In Christ Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. And in him too, you're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. But what Paul's saying here this morning, and he's teaching on the doctrine of adoption, that God brings us near, he gives us peace, he gives us access to the kingdom, and he makes us part of his family. How does he do that? He does it through the cross of Christ, through Jesus Christ, his son. That was the purpose. That was the purpose of Christ coming in the beginning. Look what he said earlier in Ephesians. In Christ, we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. You see, that the two might become one. That Jesus might be the one by which everything would be judged. Not many different ways, but one way. To make it simple for us, folks. So that we're not confused. Because God doesn't want us to be confused. Unbelievers are, by contrast, without Christ, aliens, strangers, without hope, and without God. I don't know about you, but that's not a place I want to be. That is not a place I want to be. I said to somebody the other day, do you pray? No, really, I don't. Their life was such a mess. All I could do was sit and look at them and wonder, why don't you pray? As Christians in Christ and in Christ alone, we hear, we believe, we receive, and we become citizens. In Christ Jesus, we are joined with Israel. We become recipients of the covenants of the promise. We have hope. We have God. And some people say, well, I believe in God. I believe that God exists. I believe that there's a higher being. And I said, but that's not all. That's not all. What did he do for you? You understand what he did for you. That it gave him pleasure to do this. He wants to adopt you. He wants to do this through Jesus. Well, I don't know about this Jesus thing. I don't want to get involved with this Jesus thing, you know. These Jesus people. I might have to go to church on Sunday morning. I might have to give up all the things I like to do. And I say, wow, you have no idea how much fun it is to be a Christian. You know. We have to truly come to Christ, the one who was God's plan and is God's plan, that we all together might come to Christ and become one, citizens of the kingdom of God, no longer separated by any walls that have been put up, but all together as one. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, and this is awfully long for me to read this morning, but I'm going to hit on some points because it's interesting that he's talking about justification by faith. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? I'd love to hear Paul's attitude when he's writing this, because I can imagine that Paul's about as frustrated as I get sometimes when I hear people go off on these really whacked out, far out, foreign tangents about religion and the right way to heaven and all these things. He says, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law? In other words, by doing works? Or did you receive the Spirit by believing, in other words, faith, what you heard? Did you receive the Spirit by your works or by your faith? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law, in other words, the works, or because you believe and have faith? Consider Abraham. He believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. Understand this. And here's the key, folks. The Bible talks about the children of Abraham. Do we have any children of Abraham here this morning? Do we have any children of Abraham? No Christians. We have no Christians here this morning. I want you to understand one thing before you leave. This is not my words. These are the words of the Bible. Understand, those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and he announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. God announced to Abraham that the world would be blessed through his seed, an old man. And he had faith in God, and he trusted God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Therefore, Abraham's offspring are those who by faith believe God, not by works. And we're not circumcised in the flesh. The Holy Spirit enters us, oh my gosh, and circumcises our hearts, folks, and takes our hearts of stone and makes them hearts of flesh, because we're children of Abraham, children of the promise. Now we are citizens in the kingdom of heaven by faith in Jesus Christ, and faith in Jesus Christ alone and nothing else, nothing added to it. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham. All who rely on works, on observing the law, are under a curse. As I was reading this, it was refreshing my mind, and I thought, wow, this is pretty harsh. All who rely on observing the law, in other words, doing good works, are under a curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. And how many do exactly what the law says? Clearly, no one's justified before God by the law. The righteous will live by faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And what is that promise? The promise of adoption. That in Jesus Christ we are adopted into God's kingdom as God's children. Folks, that is not taught in any other religion but Christianity, because God's a God of grace. He overlooks our differences. He overlooks the quirks about us, the different colors, the different shapes. He looks past that, and he looks into the hearts, and he sees those in Christ Jesus who have accepted Christ and have the blood of Christ on them. And he adopts us as his children. And I want to tell you something. He is not going to let go of you because you're his child. You have a special place in his heart. Do you know why he didn't destroy Israel? All through the Old Testament, they kept turning from him. Do you know why he didn't destroy them completely and turn away from them? Because they were his chosen children, as we are through Christ Jesus. We're adopted in, and we're now citizens. And we enjoy the inheritance. If the inheritance depends on the law or on works, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized in Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. It's not something we work for. Jesus already worked for it on the cross. It's something that by faith we believe. And by believing, we become citizens, no longer foreigners and aliens to God. We're citizens. We're his children. We're received. We believe and we receive citizenship. And our identity's changed. We don't go to heaven because of what we do. We go to heaven because of who we are. And in Christ Jesus, we are children of God. And he's waiting with his arms open for us to come home into his kingdom.